Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
What's up, Rob?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, I assume you're too far south. You're not in any line of hurricanes, right?
No, not right now. No, actually, we're still in Indiana, so that's a good thing.
Oh, you are? Oh, that's a safe place to be.
Yeah.
I think Florida's escaping this one, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's going to hit right in the North Carolina, South Carolina border, I think.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be pretty nasty. Now, where do you spend most of your time? Indiana or Florida?
Florida. It's really about 7 and 5 or something like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. So, how is the U.S. Open?
I wanted to send you that picture. You know, honestly, it was a pretty cool event. I mean, you being a tennis nut, you would have loved it, because what we did, we had 2 hours of drills. So they had 4 courts, and they had a teaching pro at each court. And they had Sloane Stephens then, you know, walk around, you know, talk, observe, you know, give you some pointers, blah, 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 you know. But she was a sweetheart. And the other girl who was sort of like the MC of the event was Kathy Rinaldi.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
She was a top 10 player, but she's the Fed Cup captain now. And, you know, she was good, too. I mean, so it was really a well-run. And I have to say, Mercedes did a world-class – it was a world-class experience. It really was.
I can imagine. They were They were so well positioned for the whole U.S. Open. It was amazing.
Oh, exactly. And so they had their own little, you know, we walked in the morning, they had their own little showroom, basically, in one of the buildings, and they had all the cars out, and they had all this tennis stuff around it. And so we were, you know, taking pictures with that stuff, and then we played for 2 hours, and then after that we had a brunch. And then we had the meet and greet with her with pictures and you know, autographs and all that kind of stuff. She couldn't have been nicer. You know, because sometimes, you know, these different, you know, celebrities, when they're, you know, they could be standoffish or, okay, I got to be here, let's get this over with. Nope, fully engaged. Fully engaged.
Wow.
So that's one of your things, being fully engaged. And she was. And she couldn't have been nicer. I was actually rooting for her, and I guess, you know, she made it a couple rounds, but it was cool. It was really cool.
It changes things when you have a little skin in the game, when you've got somebody who really wants to win. You know, it makes it more true.
But I said, you know, it really, you know, I was telling Dave afterwards, and I mean, you come away with that saying, wow, that was a great experience. And, you know, when we do events, that's our model. So, like, this year, in fact, Friday I'm going up to Boston for the Longwood.
Oh, are you? Good for you. Awesome.
Yep. So Clark and Sam are going to host me this time. And but I'm doing the sponsorship of this. So, you know, put out Rogers Wealth Management signs around. And it's going to be the same deal. Grass court on Friday. And then Sam and I and Clark, we're all going to play again on Saturday. We're going out for dinner Saturday night. So we're basically replicating the Sea Colony weekend that we had in June.
Wow.
So tennis is the connector, Rob.
Isn't it? You're going to have so much fun at Longwood. It's such a historic place.
I can't wait.
I mean, back when I was there in the... that would have been in the 50s and 60s, really the 50s when I was there.
Wow.
It was historic then.
Yeah.
I told you, we were ball boys for Rod Laver and Arturo Gonzalez and Jack Kramer and all those guys at Longwood.
What a great memory.
Yeah, our little white shorts on, you know, running around the court.
Yeah. So we're going to wear, you know, obviously our all whites again, and I'm actually going to wear the white. So one of the gifts that we gave all of our attendees was a white, you know, Nike tennis shirt, or collared shirt, but with the Philly Cricket logo on it. And so I'm gonna wear that up there, and then I'm sure Clark is gonna, you know, give me some props about doing the Philly event and yada yada yada. So I'm gonna, you know, mention that we're opening some, you know, have some other spots open for a few more. Austin. So we're already teeing up next year, Rob.
So it will become, if you do it right, it will become the event to be invited to.
That's it. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, because everybody who was there that this year, I mean, has talked about it, and they came away with it, like I came away with the Mercedes up at the Open. Pretty cool event. You know, as I was up at the Open, though, Rob, I was thinking about it. You know, because the friend I took with me, he's a client, and he had a great time. And he even said, well, what happens to this, you know, throughout the year? I mean, who uses this place? And really, it's a public facility. I was even wondering then, you know, to do an event there, you know, if we can get Arthur Ashe or if we can get the new Louis Armstrong, which was beautiful, to do a tennis event there.
I think it sounds smart.
Really? I mean, the tennis people would love that opportunity to, you know, play on center court, get some pictures, you know, then go in one of the... So that's another, but I'm not going to stray away from the grass. That's my spot. But I just, that was a thought that came into my head, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we could do something like that? You know, a week before the Open or 2 weeks before the Open, before the qualifiers or something like that. But anyway, but it was interesting, but I'm glad we did it. And now, like I said, this is round two, and the goal will be to just make this reciprocal every year, an annual event. June and September, one in Boston, one in Philly.
Now, did you see any representation from UBS there?
None. We have none, Rob. Seriously. I mean, it's, you know, they don't put their money into tennis. They put it into auto racing, Formula One, or whatever the heck like that. And but we have none. And what a great entertainment! Now, obviously, J.P. Morgan is the main sponsor.
Yeah.
And Mercedes. So they're the ones that are, but they're capitalizing on that. What a great opportunity! And then naturally, after so when I got back from after the event, next day, email from Mercedes. Thank you for attending our Sloan Stephens clinic. And, but as, you know, we hope you enjoyed it, but as an incentive or something, you know, here's $500 or $1,000 off, you know, just go take a visit for a test drive, blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for your friend. He's a marketing guy and he can teach you a lot. That's really cool.
Well, I am grateful for that. And, but that's what Mercedes, I mean, as a group, did. And my friend I took, he's been driving a Mercedes for 30 years, he said, I've never got an invitation to this. He said, my dealer is not taking care of me.
Right. And you said he probably never will.
Yeah. But, you know, it is that. So now I have a very good opinion and a very, you know, just a good opinion of Mercedes now. It's changed, and it's a relationship because of this. It's not, you know, yes, there are BMWs and everything else, and I'm driving a Lexus, but now my whole perception of, and it was a one-on-one relationship now.
And they follow through. By the way, they do follow through all the way through to the service, and everything that they do is world-class. Because I've bought different, you know, I bought some used Mercedes, and I've bought some, and they don't treat you like, you know, you bring a Mercedes in, they treat you like you bought it at that dealership, and you're the only person in the showroom. And,
yeah.
And seriously, I mean, I had a problem in the east coast of Florida, and I had to take it in, and they treated me like I was...
Wow.
Correct, you bought it right there, you know,
yeah.
And the same thing in Sarasota, same thing in Indianapolis. They're very consistent in terms, and
yeah,
I cannot tell you, That's not the way it is with other dealerships. I've been in BMW, you know, I was a BMW family my whole, you know, adult life, and had, you know, three or four of them, and that was, I was very disappointed when I went to Sarasota. Very inconsistent, you know, so I think you can recommend Mercedes pretty much universally, and that's not easy to do, you know.
So that's, you know, one of the things that we talk about, and I always say when we have to our events, and I talk about it, UBS is a world-class wealth management firm, you know. I mean, I tie world-class in. I do world-class tennis events, world-class whatever, and we give world-class service. So it just is a natural thing. I mean, Mercedes fits that, the brand that we're really looking at.
Yep. So, no question.
So, that's one of those things. I wasn't looking for it, Rob. I mean, I wasn't pursuing this, but it came to me, so I have to be paying attention because that was an eye-opener saying, wait a second. Here's an,
It's wonderful.
So the other thing I just want to report on, because of tennis and our other Mr. Dave here, you know, who's really, he's a very good athlete. He's a basketball, you know, he played other sports, but he's a very good athlete, runner, but not a tennis player. So this year, though, after we did the Sea Colony, or the grass court, now Dave didn't play, because I told him, you know, he couldn't make the cut yet. But his wife got him some tennis lessons, and then he was down at the beach one weekend with his family, with his in-laws, and at Sea Colony, and then I took him out in the court, we drilled him. He's got the talent. He's going to pick it up quickly.
Well, that's great.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It's a work in progress, we call it. But I've always enjoyed the game in terms of watching it. I never really, I've gone around and hit some tennis balls, but never really, you know, got into tennis, you know, from like playing in high school and everything like that. So my wife said, you know, from the pressure from Rick and the pressure from both of my in-laws play tennis. So, you know, there's now a lot of tennis surrounding me. So I said, you know what, I'm going to pick it up, and I've taken it fairly seriously, and I figure, I told Rick, and I told these other Boston buddies, I said, give me 6 to 9 months to work on my game, then I'll be ready to go. So it's fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and it's been really enjoyable.
That's great.
He's doing it the right way by taking lessons and learning the right way.
Right, exactly. I take lessons now. You know that. I told you that.
Yeah, and so do I. I mean, it's a constant learning and tweaking and doing certain things, and it's awesome. So, but no, Dave has natural ability, Rob. You know, he'll pick it up quickly. He already has two-handed backhand. He's the pro started him off with, which was good. So he'll be ready for next. That's his goal. Is next the next grass court event in June.
Yeah,
we got to get him ready. So anyway, so all that's good. So the summer, you know, finished. I mean, everything was good. Now, but it's back to biz. Fall is here, and you know, because things, you know, slow down a little bit in the summer.
Yep. So what's the plan?
Is he staying back in contact? But now, actually, they did a good thing with me, even just, you know, creating a spreadsheet of all. I mean, a more formalized. Prospect sheet and client contact sheet, I mean, which we already, you know, the clients we do a good job of. It's the prospects I don't do a good enough job with targeting and following up and going after. You know that. I mean, that's one of my,
it's Achilles heel.
I let them come to me versus really reaching out more. So we want to get more of a, just a, you know, outreach to the, especially now, all the contacts we're getting.
Right. So what's the plan now? How are you going to convert?
that's what I need the help with. So also, one of the guys down at Sea Colony is the general counsel at SoFi, and he's going to be retiring within the next year. So him and I play a lot together. And so actually Dave happened to be down there, so I introduced him. And I said, this is, you know, a new partner on my team. And I think I had mentioned, I said, Dave, you know, this is who we're going to get over, you know, to UBS. And he said, well, as soon as I have my liquidity event. because he's got a, he was one of the first 30 people at SoFi. So he has a lot of stock in the company. And they're probably not going to go public.
He has 700,000 shares that he already paid tax on when he got the shares originally. So
yeah.
Whenever they go public, whatever their valuation is now, he said his cost basis was $7 a share. He already paid taxes. So on 700,000 shares, I mean, his liquidity event will probably somewhere end up, certainly the $10+ million range. And we, from our early conversation, it seems like, he probably already has, he's probably already an eight-figure, investable asset, eight-figure individual. So, I mean, it's potentially a great opportunity.
That's wonderful.
And I played tennis with him a lot. And so we were actually talking more. He was asking me about my business. And actually, I was telling him that I'm working with a business coach, because he was asking my minimums, and I said, well, my minimum is $1 million, but I said my coach wants me to up it to $2.5 million because that's more representative of where I'm at. And so he was asking me a lot of leading questions about the things that we do and all that kind of stuff. And I told him, I said, I don't work with everybody. We're very selective, but I said when there's a good fit, because I tell him what we do. And so he was asking quite a bit this time.
Well, there's nothing wrong with introducing him to Supernova now. When's he going to retire?
Well, he keeps saying, he already said, I definitely want to come to your Philly cricket next year. He said, if I'm not retired by then, hopefully I'm retired, because he flies a lot. They're out on the West Coast, so he's flying around and back and forth, and it's a high-pressure job. I mean, it's a stressful job. And so he doesn't think he's going to wait until we go public. That's his thinking right now, because it might not be for another 18 months. So he's within 12 months of retirement, I would say. That's in his brain at the moment.
He made it sound like he's not waiting for them to go public. He's perfectly fine. Getting out if the price is right at a valuation that he thinks is reasonable, he's pretty much saying, I think there's been, a lot of news out there that they're probably going to be a 2019, potentially a 2020 IPO for SoFi. So, seems like he wants out, and Rick had mentioned his wife also very successful and an executive at a firm. So,
she was born Ferries in DC, and she's 7 years younger than him. And he said, I don't know, because she's not going to retire. And but they're both, very high earners. They're no debt, he said. He's pretty much laying things out for me. So it's going to be a very interesting, and I do believe, when they have this liquidity event, we're going to, be there for them. But he already has substantial assets, and he likes doing things on his own. He said he buys dividend-paying stocks and he's off.
Okay, so one of the things we do is we give him typically we give him a 90-day free look. But what we did for the CEO of a major insurance company was do the butler for one.
Right.
Okay, so you talk to them quarterly in a formal way, and once a year you go and see them, or they come and see you. Best if they come and see you.
Right.
But you do your pre-planning. I call it a pre-planning experience. I kind of like that.
Pre-planning experience, yeah. Because he's getting close. I mean, it's if he's within a year, the good thing is, the relationship is there.
So you give him a folder, and you teach him what it's like to be a client of yours, and you tell him it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And that you guys will do some pre-planning for him. You won't do the... Unless he wants the formal planning, which he probably should have.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So make the offer. What can you, what can be wrong with that?
Yeah.
And say, here's what it would be like to be a client. Rather than, you know, wait till the liquidity event, why don't we both make an investment in this? And, you know, if you're happy, good, we move forward. If you're not, then, you know, we just stay friends.
Yeah.
But I'd like to help you in this process because there's going to be some decisions to make, and you might as well use the resources that we have available to make those decisions. You know, it's nice to have somebody to bounce things off of.
Yeah, no,
I know you like to do things yourself, but this is the time when you need it. You know, you could use a coach or you could use an advisor.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you, what's the best way? Next, you know, like when I'm down there the next time I'm playing tennis with them, or just,
You got to get along with him. Whether you can get along with him after and have lunch, or you just have a separate lunch or something, but you need to get along with him.
Yeah.
And you need to have a folder made up ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you present the idea to him. Say, look, this is what we've done. This is what we've done for clients in the past that we've been referred to. Okay, so see the way I said that? This is what we've done for clients in the past that we've been referred to. That are in your situation. You know, we're friends. I'd hate to have you get less than our best.
Right.
So even before...
Rob, I'm writing this down. This is what we have done in the past.
For clients that we've been referred to.
Okay.
You know, and I'd hate to have you get less than our very best.
Yeah.
Especially in a critical time like this.
Right.
So what I propose is that we engage in a consulting relationship and we do some pre-planning for you.
Yeah, and no charge.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he wants to pay for it.
Yeah, so we can offer that. That's another option. If we want to do a full plan, we can charge him for that.
Right. I mean, if you were a client, we would.
Yeah, so that's...
And then you say, look... Yeah, I mean, think about it. Who needs a plan more than he does right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And just as somebody to kick this stuff around with, because he's going to have to make decisions. He's going to have to make decisions. And,
I mean, you know, the cobbler's son goes without shoes. Just because he's a lawyer doesn't mean he's an estate planning attorney.
Oh, he's definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's say that he can put this stuff in trust. Is he married? Has children? Any children?
Yeah, he's one daughter who just got married.
Okay.
And so obviously, you know, he's overfunded for his own retirement. I mean, it's going to be legacy money that he's going to be dealing with.
Right. And whether, you know, you can put it in trust and then, you know how those things go.
Yeah.
Particularly if they go public and he gets a huge gain, he might want to put a portion for her aside in a trust in a pre-public distribution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do it now instead of later, and then, you know, instead of paying, and just completely get it out of his estate that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd really be stupid. If, you know, pay. You know, all of a sudden he goes from a $7 million net worth to $25 million, and the government gets the rest. Would you rather have $10 million in her name?
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean.
Yep. So that's going to be, that is one of our targets for the next, you know, 6 months. So that's where we're at with him, and I'll probably see him in October.
This is not a dumb thing to do, by the way, because these clients typically take that much time to get anyway. So we did that quite a bit, and you know we ended up with a $75 million client.
Wow. Yeah, and Rob, I think you make a good point. I mean, and I guess that's been our just the block we have of, like, you know, people bring it up and they say, hey, we love to talk, or they ask about your business, and then it's that next step, because that seems like that's kind of our bottleneck, is the, like, let's either get you into the office, send us your statements, whatever, like, that next line is to get people in the door. I feel like that's where, you know, we've kind of had a, not difficulty, but that's like that next, the more salt or close to get people in the door, or, you know, to present, you know, the fact that we can do some planning work for them. It's free. You get to see our process and our service model and some of our ideas, or what is it that really gets people in the door after they've kind of already, like, kind of laid everything out for you. Here's what I have. Here's what I've been doing. I feel like then we're like, oh, okay, like, we do some of this. We do some of that. And then it's like, I feel like then it's like, oh, you kind of kick the can a little bit. And I think we need to get that better next step of don't kick the can. How do we get them now in the door? They've already kind of transparency-wise told us, here's what I had, here's what I've been doing, you know, what are your fees? And we've already kind of had that preliminary conversation. Now we just need to bring them in, and I think that's the question.
Well, tell your story of Sam. I mean, you don't have to bring up Sam's name, but people like stories. And they like stories about people like themselves. And that you had things planned out ahead of time for Sam, so that when he went public, it wasn't a big deal, you know. Because frankly, they don't know what you do. They don't know what you do. They don't know you do in-depth multi-generational planning.
Yeah.
They think you sell stocks.
Yeah.
So you've got to change the game and explain to them what you do, and you can do that by telling them a story of, this is how we helped a gentleman just like yourself, or similar, in a similar situation, and this is how we saved him, you know, $10 million in taxes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Right?
Just to give you an update on Sam, we had a call with him yesterday, and remember, I think we told you earlier, he's been already getting some feelers about CEO positions So I have to give Sam credit for doing things the right way. So one of the venture capital guys who's on his board who put this homology together obviously has a whole, you know, network of companies that they're working with, especially in the healthcare industry. Sam had a meeting with him one-on-one and to let him know about his, you know, future desires of CEO, and the guy thought it was great. And he pretty much told Sam, you know, give us some time, you know, spend another year here, and then, you know, but we're going to continue to talk. Well, Sam also met with the CEO of his company, who's a very good friend. They all came from Shire together. And he said, Sam, the timing is right now. He said, I wouldn't wait a year. He said, I think there's opportunities for you now that you, you know, we will, and he said, we'll even work with you to make sure your shares are vested and so he doesn't leave anything on the table. But he has, so Sam is doing the right thing. He's being fully transparent, and now they are assisting him in helping get to so Sam really thinks that within 6 to 9 months, he may be on a different, you know, as a CEO, and
then Sam was already talking. He goes, once I leave, then I'm going to train all my shares that come to you. We could plan some, you know, strategies around those shares that he's going to get from Fix. And so it's like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Well,
so Sam's going to be doing this again.
I'd love to know the venture capital guy.
Dave, we know his name, right?
Kush?
Yeah.
Kush Parmar, I believe his name is. And guys, I apologize. I'm going to have to drop.
No.
All right, but we'll keep up. Yeah, Kush Parmar is his name. He's 5AM Ventures, I believe, is the firm that he's with. All right, we'll talk. Thanks, Rob, and I apologize that I've got to jump for this 9:30 call.
Yeah.
See
ya.
Bye-bye.
But, yeah, so this venture capital guy, and I think it might be 5AM Ventures. You could look at some of the venture capital that's behind Sam's company. It's, you know, these are major players. But Sam has met with him, and, you know, he agrees. But, you know, he wants to keep Sam in his little network because he knows Sam, and, you know, they want to look for the right fit for the next opportunity to bring other, you know, companies public. And so Sam may be doing, he might be being in, you know, CEO position sooner versus later. Now, he does believe...
Is his background science, or is he is he on the finance side?
Both. He's got both. He has his PhD. So, but he also has he's been working on the finance side, and when his prior role at Shire, he was involved in their acquisition, bringing on new companies to invest in. So he has a pretty good skill set, and now the fact that he's gone through this with Homology, there's quite a bit. And he said he would if the opportunities are in Boston, and which he doesn't have to relocate, but there's multiple opportunities. He said multiple opportunities. Now he can't, and I asked him he would stay in the gene editing. And he said not it'd be a non-compete there, but he said there's so many other areas that are promising.
That's so great. That's so great. Well, they seem Fix got a little bump this week.
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, "What happened with Fix?" And he said they were at a city healthcare conference last week, and they presented. So it might have been somebody, but if you can see, there's so little volume.
I know.
So but I think, Rob, this is a 2019 story when they go into their clinicals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Sam even said, but Sam still feels this is a $50 stock.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so he's, they're not thinking of selling. So even if he leaves, he's going to hold on to it. He said, I'm going to transfer the shares over to you guys. I mean, this is like a dream. I mean, he said, he's already talking. This is what, we're planning on doing. He goes, I want you to start thinking about this, and then we can think about different ways to, hedge that or, borrow against it, to diversify, yada, 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 yada. And he'll be doing this again with another company. And so anyway, so this weekend when I'm up there, it's just going to be more, relationship building with them, with Clark, with Sam, and then all these other venture guys that are going to be at this playing tennis.
So do you own a little Fix yourself?
I do. I'm still underwater on it, though. I think I bought it around 18 or 19, and it's almost up to 18 again. So, of course, I have some skin in the game, Rob.
Absolutely. No,
it's a next year story.
Yeah. I'm good. I like that. I appreciate it. So this is this is all new. For me, I've seen these stories over and over and over again. Okay.
Really?
Financial advisor meets guy, who's a nice guy, become friends. He ends up going public. He introduces him, and all of a sudden, this guy is in the middle of a con. We used to say, it's as a submarine, you want to pop up in the middle of a convoy, right? And in your case, you're popping up in the middle of a convoy, and you're going to have a target-rich environment. You're going to have more opportunities than you can imagine, and that's how you become, you know, a $5 or $10 million producer. So this is not unusual. It's how should I say it? It's not. But when I study the guys that have become $5 and $10 million producers, this is how they do it.
Wow. But again, my thing is, Rob, I think sometimes we want it to happen sooner, but I think, you tell me, is it going in the right progression? Because I think sometimes trying to force more too quickly, and it could turn it off. We're as trusted people now. There's not even any question about that.
Right. No, you're doing just fine, Rick. I told you that the other day.
I think sometimes because Dave's young and aggressive, and let's go more, let's get it. And I said, Dave, calm down. We got to, it'll come in time. If we just do the right thing, that's my whole thing. Do the right thing.
Well,
and
here's what I suggest. Try and meet as many people in this network as you can.
Right.
So, meet the guy from Five Ventures.
Right.
Have him know who you are.
Yeah.
Think about his ability to refer to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He can refer all day to you. Every CEO.
Wow.
So, yeah. So the key is networking and launching from one introduction to the next. And then making sure they know what you do.
I'm a good networker, and that next step is where my, again, as they said, I'm a good networker. This weekend, I'm going to be, really networking with all these people that are going to be tenants through Clark's event. And these are either all venture capital people or entrepreneurs. And
well, one of the things you can try is, and talk about this, and I used to be a little bit afraid of this, but I'm not anymore. Talk about your sole focus. Okay? Because there's another team at UBS whose sole focus is helping entrepreneurs transition their wealth. Okay? And help their families to be secure. So it's their sole focus is working with entrepreneurs. So, you can say that.
Right.
Okay? And then that makes you immediately different. And it makes you somewhat qualified. Then the question
is... Would you say about transition...
I would just say something like, my sole focus is helping entrepreneurs to transition their wealth, well, we'll work on it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sole focus is to help
transition their wealth and help secure their, provide security for their family.
And secure their future.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. Transition their wealth and secure their future. I like that.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, okay.
See what I mean? You're always looking for an elevator pitch,
right.
3-second elevator pitch. There it is.
Transition their wealth and secure their future. Yeah.
Because
you're good with these words, and I started, using them, like scattered and the different things that we talked about before, and I'm working them in now. And then, but it's this one, this is my next, for me, it's transition. Transitioning from the contact, the network part to let's sit down, let's get together. So it's also transition for me. That's my stumbling block. And I,
you know, we'll work on this because I'm going to try, you know, even this weekend, you know, I'm going to get opportunities to, you know, talk to a lot of people. And as one of the sponsors, they're going to see me there as, you know, Rogers Wealth Management, EDS.
Right. But what does that mean?
Exactly. I know. So I need that in a couple, I think, you know, those few words.
Well, one of the things, before I forget it, and I probably have told you this in the past, but so your guy that's, there's a lot of people that do it themselves, right?
Right. Yeah.
Your boy that does it himself.
Yeah.
The question is, what's his wife's name?
Lorraine.
Kent Lorraine. Yeah, you can do it yourself, but Ken Lorraine.
Oh, yeah. And the same with Hogan. The same with Hogan with his wife Diane, who doesn't have any.
Right. And so, what's your life insurance policy against that happening?
Yeah.
And then who's gonna be there for her?
Yeah.
Who's gonna be there for her during the transition of your passing and her taking over? Who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Is it not worth it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that much more expensive than what you pay for yourself.
But no, it is huge because, like I think I told you, we've gone through, unfortunately, a number of client deaths or issues this summer, and you know, luckily we've been the go-to for their family.
Right.
To help them get through.
Compared to Aretha Franklin.
What happened to her? Did she not have an estate plan or something?
You know, Prince had no estate plan?
Oh my God.
Aretha Franklin, no estate plan. You know, just because you're black doesn't mean you have to be stupid.
Yeah, I just heard that headline. I didn't really read into it, but that was the case then, huh?
Absolutely. And I'm not a racist. I'm just saying that, you know, just because you don't trust, the problem is they don't trust anybody, see?
Right. Okay.
So they don't even trust their agent.
Wow.
They don't trust anybody, so they don't end up doing it. And guess what? Then you knew who's in charge then.
Wow.
You know who's in charge?
Who?
The state.
Yeah. Yeah.
The state's in charge.
Yeah, true.
And there's four children of Aretha Franklin.
Oh, my God.
And they each have to appeal to the state to get their fair share.
Oh, my God.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So you're talking millions of dollars in lawyer's fees. This is a lawyer's dream, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
And it should have cost nothing. It should have been basically free, and it's going to cost millions.
Wow. Wow.
So,
yeah. Well, those are the kind of things. So, definitely, Rob Lavitt, I'm adding him to our top hit list because he's, you know, bigger than Hogan, actually, with this whole SoFi coming due. But again, I know his wife, too. And she's one of them that I told her early in the season when Rob could not make our event because he was traveling at the Philly Cricket. And I told her, you know, then we were at a tennis thing down at our place, and I was talking to his wife. And I said, Lorraine, it's a shame. I said I was invited, not only, you know, shame Rob couldn't make it, but I said I was also invited some, players and their wives, we all went out to dinner, and I said, you know, you and Rob, obviously, we're welcome for that, and then I even told her, I said, you know, Lorraine, I said, we just got to get you guys over to UBS, you know, at some point here, and, you know, I think we have, it's there, it's teed up, I got to finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to finish it. So, anyway. So this is good. Next time I'm going to give you the report on Boston.
Yeah, do me a favor and read the story of Prince and Aretha Franklin, just so you can have that as stories to tell. Because they're pretty powerful. I mean, it's pretty sad when you think about it. People, you know, geniuses in their lifetime. Probably the two most, I don't know, the two of my favorite all-time singers and entertainers who, in their lifetime, didn't trust anybody enough to let them do their do their playing for them. And so who was the person that didn't, who was their advisor that didn't step up and help them?
And you
don't want to be that guy.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So say to yourself, I'm never going to have an Aretha Franklin situation.
Yeah.
Even anybody I know, okay? I'm not going to let that happen to them. Either do it with me or do it with somebody, but do not go into this without doing some planning.
Yeah.
That's what I'd tell your friend.
Yeah.
If he balked at it. I'd say to him, look, do not go into retirement without doing some planning. I mean, do it with me or do it with somebody, but do it.
Just get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like it, Bob.
Don't be stupid. You know, that's, I mean, people are geniuses about their whole life, except for some of the estate planning and planning that they need to do. And it's like, wait a minute, do I really want to appear that dumb in death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you used that term before. I think we were, you know, we help people not to do stupid things. You know, like, you know, when you have all this money or something, and you just don't be stupid now and blow it by not doing something the right way.
Right. Our job is to help our clients be smart, but at least not to be stupid, right?
I love it.
Okay. My friend, hey, as usual.
As usual, so the next time we talk, I'm going to give you the fill-in on Boston. And, and you think about, again, for me, you know me now well enough that, you know, I'm not this very aggressively, you know, but I've got to get over that hump of transition for me. Taking these people that I think, you know, they know me, they I think I have their trust, but I'm just not handling their stuff. And how to get over that. And I think this Butler approach might be a good one.
That's a good one. The storytelling is good. The Aretha Franklin stories are good. Stories of people that, you know, didn't do planning and then ended up not having things come out the way they wanted. Those are all good, good stories.
Yeah. Here's how we work with somebody like yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, here's how let me tell you a story. A good one and then a bad one, you know.
Yeah.
People love stories. They you know, that's how we always communicated with stories. And so it's they know when they hear a good one. So and I like your elevator pitch.
Good. We're gonna get there. That's our next piece of. If I can get that down where it's smooth, Rob, where it's like I don't even think it just like you know how when you're learning a new, you know, if you change your stroke around a little bit and change your grip, you go through a little, you know, you think about it a little bit and it's not totally natural. I mean that's what. But then when once it kicks in, it's just flows. So. That's what I got to practice on so that this is smooth. It just flows out of me without even thinking.
Well, I would say everybody that you meet in Boston, that's your elevator speech, okay?
All right. I'm going to go for it.
Go for it.
All right, Coach.
Okay. Nice to talk to you, buddy.
I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Bye.
Thanks.